Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. We have a terrific show for you today with some specific tips on transitioning that you won't find anywhere else. Paul Estrada, a partner at EY, formerly known as Ernst & Young, will go into depth of the five transferable military skills you need on your resume if you or someone you know is about to transition. You won't want to miss this one.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and FEP Vision, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, and USAA for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I'm going to say it every week, we love them too. We're going to be talking about transition today, highlighting military skills that they need to be included in your resume. And I'm so excited to introduce Paul Estrada, an Army veteran who is now a partner at EY, the accounting firm formerly known as Ernst & Young. He also is an executive chair of the Veterans Network at EY, which the Military Times has identified as a top 10 employer of veterans. Thank you for joining the show today, and we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, SMA Tilley. Glad to be here.
I appreciate that. You know, we have a lot to talk about today, but before we do that, would you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yes, SMA Tilley. Well, this is the hardest part of the podcast for me because as NCOs, we're taught not to talk about ourselves, instead talk about your team. But if it helps someone, you know, I always open up about my background and where I came from. And it all started really in San Diego. I was raised in San Diego, and when I was 12, my father left us, and it affected me probably the most, being the oldest in my family. And I went through some tough times. I was homeless for a while and eventually got picked up by a group home. I was really not a bad kid. I didn't have any problems with the law, but I ended up getting moved around a lot in foster care. And I ended up, with six different high schools in my high school resume. Let's say, but I did graduate when I was 16 with a 1.8 GPA, and we'll get into that later. Then I was very blessed to be able to join the Army. I really wanted to join the military. I found that the Army was the best fit for me. I served in the 82nd Airborne, as you mentioned, and I left after 5 years, attended college at USC, and graduated from USC, and then went on to my first job in my first transition, which was as an institutional equity trader in New York at Goldman Sachs. And so that was in 1994. And here I am some 30 years later, and I'm a partner at EY.
Well, you know, it's funny that you talk about your experience when you was a kid and the struggles that you had right there. When I was a kid, I wasn't a very good kid. And I struggled the same way. In fact, I tell people all the time, the last 2.5 years I was at home, I lived in a laundry room. It was just big enough for a bed, and I had a shelf, three shelves, I think it was, and then a little vent I looked at, and I'd pull my feet around, had a cable, I'd turn on the light. So I think sometimes when you struggle when you're younger, it helps you in the future. I think it helps you to be a better person, and I think it helps you appreciate life that so much more. So it's good. It's good to know where you came from and where you're going to, and you just keep pushing in life. It's, you're a great role model. That's what I was trying to reach out to there. Since we're about to talk about resumes, we should probably point out to, you know, everybody that's listened to us, you look at a lot of resumes, and don't you see a lot of resumes quite a bit throughout the year?
Yes, thank you, SMA. So I would say that in my 30 years of corporate experience, I've been involved with recruiting at least 25 of those years. So at this point, I've seen thousands of resumes.
Wow.
Many from veterans and military spouses, which is an area of focus for us. And so, you know, I am happy to always provide feedback and help, you know, our folks out as much as they need it, because, you know, you only really get one chance to impress, right, on a resume. So it has to really come alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul, I understand that now you have five transferable skills that every veteran learns about in the military, should include, you know, on your resume. Please tell us, what are those? What are those five transferable skills?
Yes, SMA Tilly. Well, so I want to preface the discussion with, you know, why I want to talk about these five skills. So there are many more skills, of course, that we learn in our military. And these are the ones that I just don't see on the resume very often. And they're key skills that are transferable to corporate America, in my view, and skills that really should be on the resume, but often we just don't know how to get them in there. And I think that whether you served in the Army or the Marine Corps or any other service, you likely have these to some degree. And of course, I'm generalizing here. But the reason I want to bring this up is that often, you know, I hear from my partners and my friends that they want to hire veterans because of their leadership and their teamwork. But to me, that's a little bit cliche. And really, that's the result of a lot of these transferable skills. So here we go. So the five that I think should be on the resume are: number one, innovation; number two, discipline; number three, trust; number four, motivation. And number five, people skills.
Yeah. Well, those are five great skills. Let's start off with talking about innovation. What exactly do you mean by that? And how does it, you know, how does it translate into the civilian workforce?
Yes, SMA. So innovation. So I have a quick story. And as an NCO, you know, I have a lot of stories.
Me too.
So innovation. So I remember when I was a brand new E5 sergeant, I had a mission. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I walked into my first sergeant's office. And I mentioned also earlier that, you know, I really was raised, but not with a dad. And, you know, I was so blessed to have my first sergeant as one of my dads, a Vietnam veteran. And I always said I was raised by Vietnam veterans. So you have to take this in the context that he actually liked me. So I walked into his office and I said, "First Sergeant, I need like X, Y, and Z." And he started yelling at me saying, "Estrada, improvise. Improvise, Estrada. Like, get out of my office, son, and go improvise." And so it taught me a valuable lesson that, you know, we're not always going to get every single item that, you know, we want, and we have to figure it out. And to me, improvise just means innovate. And so we do a lot of innovating in our military. It's in our DNA. We're taught to innovate every single day. And I think that that's one of the reasons, certainly, why we are the greatest force the world has ever known. It's that innovation that happens in the military. That's also why, in my opinion, for example, we're so entrepreneurial. So when you look at the facts, the statistics in the U.S., when you look at all the businesses and who owns them, veterans own 10% of them, even though we're less than 1% of those who serve.
Yeah.
So think about the performance there, right? And so I always tell, you know, my partners when, you know, they ask me about veterans, I say, you should be hiring veterans because of the performance, the innovation. Innovation is so key, but I don't see that on the resume a whole lot. So what I recommend, instead of writing, for example, on your resume, that, you know, for example, you know, you were in charge of $10 million worth of equipment. Why not write about how you made that equipment function and you innovated to make sure it was deployed on time and on budget? Like, all those innovations that veterans do on a day-to-day basis, those need to get into the resume with real examples.
Number two on your list is transferable skills, you know, discipline. I know that's a huge part of the Army life. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So another transferable skill that I rarely see on the resume is discipline. So in the military, we have, of course, standards, and those are physical standards, behavioral standards, technical standards. And again, I don't see those on the resume, yet discipline is so important to corporate culture. It's something that we welcome. It's something that is absolutely a transferable skill. So we got to get that on the resume, right? And what can that look like? Well, if you received, say, a good conduct medal for good behavior, let's get that on the resume. If you maxed out the Army physical readiness test for 4 years in a row, get that on the resume, right? It shows discipline. It shows that you really know how to execute on a mission. You know how to maintain standards, how to achieve them. And we've got to get more of that information, especially for the JMOs and the NCOs. You know, we've got to get that discipline factor in there because it's welcomed. I think not just in corporate America, really in any kind of business or nonprofit, that discipline is a huge differentiating factor.
Wow. And do you find a lot of veterans don't include that on the resume as far as discipline, or don't know how to include that on the resume?
I find that it's not articulated. You know, most of the resumes include the rank of the individual, where they served, their title. But we have to just be knowledgeable and cognizant of the fact that the person on the other end reading that resume is most likely not a military person. So we have to really explain, like, what are the transferable skills? Because often, you know, veterans can be hired based on promise or talent, not necessarily because they know how to do the job exactly, but because they're going to be a great individual to learn and take that job on if they have the right skills. And more often than not, in my view, we do have the right skills. We just do not get them into the resume.
I got to ask you a quick question. Well, all of them are quick questions, but do you think you ought to have two resumes? I mean, somebody told me when I was getting out of service, you asked you one military and then one is sort of a generic resume for your civilian job or something you're going to go into. Is that a good idea to do that?
I think it's a great idea. I never thought about it, but you know, certainly if you're applying for a job with a DOD, that's going to look a lot different than, say, a job with a corporate entity. It depends also probably on your MOS mm-hmm. or your specialty. For example, if you have an engineering background or a cybersecurity background or some kind of computer technology background as a veteran, you're likely to get multiple offers, right? So maybe your resume needs to be more focused on that. I think where I tend to see a lot of the, needs for improvement in resumes are the areas where you have someone who maybe is a NCO or a JMO, and then there's just not enough detail in there to see how we could bring them into the organization in a job that would be a good fit.
Yeah, I love talking about resumes because we're talking about the things that help our veterans as far as in the future and stuff. And one last question before we're going to take a quick break here. When do you think you ought to have a resume? I always tell people you ought to have a resume when you come in the Army or come in the military and sort of continue to build on that resume as you go through. Is that a good idea?
I think that's a great idea. But certainly, and I'm not the expert, but according to my friends that are the experts in terms of military transitions, they recommend that you start working on this a year before you leave the service, before your ETS date. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, that's certainly a good time to or a great time to start that resume and start looking at it and getting feedback and building it up so that you have an absolutely outstanding resume, say 6 months out, and you're circulating that.
We're going to take a quick break. So I know we're going to talk about number three here in just a second. So hold that thought. I'll be right back. Helping veterans transition is one of the main topics of your Next Mission video podcast. And if you're finding the information we're providing today useful, please like us, click on that subscribe button below, and click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming podcast releases. Paul, we've talked about innovation, discipline, and transferable skills and veterans should include in the resume. You said trust is number three. Let's talk about that.
Trust is our currency in the Army and in our military. And I don't think it's any different in corporate America or any business. And I don't see that on the resumes very often. And I think it's very difficult to get it in there. But, you know, as an example, if you going back to that NCO or that, you know, JMO, if you're in charge of a platoon, let's say, instead of putting that on the resume, why not show examples of how you led that platoon? What did that look like? Because you had 50 soldiers depending on you, you know, on a daily basis. And what did that leadership look like, right? How did you become a trusted leader for them? I think those are important examples because, and I get it that some of you may think, wait a minute, hold on, that's not a skill, that's a quality. And I agree with you. But what the military does is they take a trustworthy person And then they develop that to a very high degree so that it does become a transferable skill. And so I remember, for example, when I used to jump out of an airplane, I had the responsibility of checking that paratrooper in front of me, right? I literally had to have his back and check that parachute and make sure that everything was routed correctly, nothing was loose, so that he wouldn't be injured on the way out of that airplane. And the paratrooper behind me had to, you know, check my equipment. And that was the kind of trust that we developed in our military, because our life depended on it. And so it's part of our DNA. Why not put it on that resume? You know, get examples of how you're not just a trustworthy person, but you've really developed that skill as a leader. Because, again, I think there's a codependency between discipline and trust. And we already talked about discipline. But it's also extremely important to any corporate culture. And so when a recruiter sees that, a business sees that, you know, that you're you have this developed trust, you know, with your team and, you know, this incredible ability, that's something that's going to differentiate you potentially. So we've got to get that on the resume.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about trust, I mean, if people don't trust you, I don't think the performance is going to be that good. You know, they got to have trust and confidence, especially in the job in the military. People don't trust you. I mean, you're dealing with lives in the military, so you got to have that trust in the people that you're working with. You know, number four is something I love to talk about. It's motivation. And I'm getting motivated right now every time I got to do something. No, but I love talking about motivation because it shows a lot about the individual. But it seems to me it'd be hard to translate motivation onto a resume. Is it? Is that something we can put on there too?
We've got to get that in there. You know, it's just a linguistic different SMA. So in corporate America, we call this drive, and it's something that we always look for. So if you have a person with a lot of drive, that's really just someone who's self-motivated. In the Army, we just call it motivation, right? Being highly motivated. So I want to go back to the Vietnam veterans that raised me, people that were very much like you. I had this mentor. He was from the 173rd Airborne, Vietnam veteran. And he was a very, very wise NCO. And he once told me, motivation cures all ills. And I've always kind of, you know, led with that idea on my own teams, and that, you know, I'd rather have someone who maybe is not perfect at everything, but they're highly motivated and they're going to be able to fix it just by, you know, having a high degree of motivation. So how do we get that on the resume, right? Like that's the challenging part. But, you know, basically, it's not something that, you know, we can say is taught in school, right? So if you have it, if you're a highly motivated individual, find a way to get that in your resume. Does that mean that you have volunteered while you were on active duty? Were you attending school at night? What did your day look like? Did you, for example, work out twice a day, and that's why you achieved you know, a high score on the Army physical readiness test or maxed it out? Again, there's a codependency with a lot of these skills, but, you know, finding a motivated individual is always a win. And if we can get that on the resume and what that looks like, that's going to be, again, another good transferable skill to showcase.
How would you explain to somebody that I'm motivated on my resume? I mean, what would that look like on that?
Sometimes you've got to just write it in. I recall
just highly
that,
motivated.
Well, you'd say, you know, I've served in a number of capacities. I've been leading with a high degree of motivation, and here's what happened. Like, for example, if you and this used to happen in the Army, hopefully it still does. But for example, I was a medic. And if you were highly motivated and went above and beyond and graduated and were an honor graduate, you got a chance to then choose another MOS in the medical specialty, which is something that, you know, I had the honor of doing. And so that's how the Army rewards you. And so you got to get that in the resume, right? Somehow show what your motivation has produced. You know, in college, we call that GPA. Right. If you're highly motivated, you're going above and beyond, that usually translates into a high GPA. And so employers are looking for that high GPA. In reality, they're looking for that high degree of drive or motivation. So we just have to be able to do it in a military context. So if you attended a lot of schools, if you were, you know, selected for Ranger school or, you know, any kind of, you know, specialty school, got to get that in the resume. I remember having a friend that was highly successful, and he had done a lot of high speed kind of things in the Army, and he didn't have any of them on his resume. And so I told him, we've got to get those on the resume because it shows your character and your performance and your high degree of motivation and the fact that you were an elite soldier. And there's nothing wrong with putting that on the resume.
Yeah. The other thing I'll tell you about motivation, if you're motivated, you motivate the people that you're with. I mean, you sort of bring them up. I'm motivated. And there's a lot of examples I was sitting there thinking about that, you know, when you're telling me about this. I'm thinking about all the places I'd ever been that I'd seen people who were not motivated. And it always bothered me about they wasn't enthusiastic. They had no initiative. They had no drive. And it really bothered me a little bit about just being around. I tried to stay away from people like that because it just bothered me a lot. And I always said, you know, if you're going to do something, try to do it right. Try to do it the best. I mean, this may be sort of pointing fingers at different people, but I don't want to be second best. And in our profession, in the military, nobody wants to be second best, because if you're second best in my profession, or in our profession, then you could pay with your life. And I don't want to, you know, I certainly don't want to do that. Nobody else does either. This is some great information, as well as everything we're talking about is great information. So we're going to talk about the last item on your list right after this commercial break. So stay right there. I'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at purdueglobal.edu. USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Paul Estrada, a partner at EY and executive chair of the Veterans Network at EY. Remember, this is your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us about what topics you want us to cover. I want to hear from you. I want you to know, what do you want us to talk about on the show? You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll actually reach back out to you. Paul, we've already talked about innovation, discipline, trust, and motivation as transferable skills that one should include on the resume. And I think this is great advice for any person, young soldier and old soldier. As we head into the final segment, let's talk about the last of your skills, the transferable skills, people skills. And I think this is, all of them are important, but I think this is one of the most important ones.
Yes, SMA, this is my personal favorite and one that you rarely see on a resume. And that's people skills. So these are things that you just can't teach in college. A lot of this just comes through life experience. So I'll go back to one of my stories when I was in basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I remember the drill sergeant getting, you know, as soon as we got off the bus, he told us, welcome to the U.S. Army. You are all green now. And I was like, what is he talking about? And I got it like 10 seconds later. Like, yeah, we're all the same, right? Like, there are no backgrounds or anything else. We were all an army of one. Be there to be all you can be. And that was it. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why in the military you have this incredible, strong bond where, you know, I came from San Diego. I'm Mexican-American, but some of my best friends were African-Americans from the South, or Italian-Americans from New York, Irish-Americans from Montana. I mean, I had so many friends, and I felt so wealthy, you know, as an individual with all these friendships. And, you know, we were all the same, and we didn't really you know, have any kind of discussions about, you know, backgrounds and accepting. It was just very common, and it was expected that we were all green.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were on an equal playing ground. And where I'm going with this is, you know, some people nowadays call this diversity. But in reality, you know, if you serve in the military, you have this global mindset, this ability to talk to anyone, get along with anyone. You're approachable. These are excellent people skills that we must get on the resume.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if you have, for example, I have a lot of friends that served in Afghanistan, and they had to, you know, work with individuals that were native to that country and talk to them and, you know, learn the language even. And these are great skills just to show that you're a well-rounded human being that, you know, really appreciates other human beings, is able to serve them, and is able to fit into any team. And this is something that we learn in the military from day one. I mean, for me, it was literally day one, and I don't think it ever stopped. And so I really want to see our folks, our military folks, get that on their resume. That's such a key skill, and it's so welcomed in any kind of business setting.
You know, one of the things when you talk about people skills, one of the things that I always credit myself about is I knew how to read people, you know, whether or not they felt bad, whether or not they, just by their actions, just by the things, those nonverbal things that they do. And I think that's at any level of leadership that you're ever at, if you can read people, understand people, know how to get the best out of people. I mean, some people are good doing a specific item and some aren't. And so how to move those people around and to so they can get the best performance out of them. I guess I know you can't put that on a resume, but those are the kind of things I'd like everybody to do. Sometimes, in fact, we talk a lot about, you brought it up about a little bit about diversity and race relations, knowing about other cultures, knowing about what the holidays, just whatever the heck it is, and knowing how other people are affected by, you know, different things that you do. One of the things that I probably, I told a story yesterday when I was talking to somebody on the show that I used to have a color guard. And when I had a color guard, I made sure the color guard was pretty diverse. You know, I had a minority, a black, a white. And so somebody used to say, well, why do you do that? I said, because I want them to represent the United States Army, represent our United States of America. And I think sometimes people skip that a little bit, though. So I think people skills certainly is one of the most important things. How important has self-transformation been in your success? I mean, you obviously have been very successful in what you're doing, but how important has self-transformation been for you?
Well, I thank you for your kind words, SMA, but in reality, I've been very blessed. I don't see it as, you know, me being successful. I see it as me just being extremely blessed to be in America, to be an American, to be, you know, part of this great nation. And the America that I know is very kind, very generous, right? When I was homeless, it picked me up. There was a safety net, and it kept me safe until I graduated from high school. Then, you know, in the Army, I had another transformation. So just to back up a bit, so I want to make sure this comes across very clearly. So I went from a 1.8 GPA in high school. And I'm probably giving myself too much credit. It might have been like a 1.75, but you know, I'm an accountant, so I'm going to round up.
Okay, all right, go. That's good.
to 8 years later, let's say 3.8 GPA, graduating cum laude from the University of Southern California. It's the St. Paul. The only thing in between was the U.S. Army. So that's what my transformation looked like. I think my first one was just surviving high school, right? Like graduating. One thing that I didn't say is I was raised in an all Spanish school system in San Diego, which we're not going to get into that, but it created a whole set of challenges because when I arrived in high school as a student, you know, I was told, well, here you go, Paul Estrada, here's your book, read it and write an essay. And I couldn't read English. I didn't understand what I was doing. So I had to very quickly, you know, focus on the language and focus on just surviving high school. Right. So I would say that's my first transformation. Then I had to transition into the U.S. Army. That was my life changing transformation. That was my best transformation. The Army changed my trajectory forever. It changed my family's trajectory. So I owe a lot to the U.S. Army. And I'll give you one example. I'll talk about my first sergeant once again, because, you know, he was such a great father figure to me. Being in the 82nd Airborne, as you might imagine, I was constantly in the field. I was training, right? We're on jumps and all these things. We were far away from garrison. But my first sergeant knew that I was going to school at night. And what I did is I essentially replicated at a local community college my entire high school experience. So I took math from arithmetic all the way to trigonometry. And, you know, I was pretty motivated about going to school, and he knew that. So when I was in the field, guess what he would do? He would have a driver drive me all the way to my class, because we didn't have anything virtual back then. We're talking about the mid-80s here. So we didn't even have computers or laptops, so that I could be in school, so that I would not miss out on any kind of instruction or learning. So he basically treated me like a captain, right? And I had my own driver just so that I could go to school. And then that driver would wait for me and then bring me back into the field, right? And so, you know, I am eternally grateful for all the investment, all the support that I received in the Army. But the reason I'm mentioning this is we have been trained to adapt in the Army, to overcome in the Army. We are very good at transformation. So, you know, I'm here to tell any enlisted person, NCO especially, don't be afraid of this transformation. We call it transition nowadays, but it's just self-transformation. That's all it is. And we're good at it. We've been trained to adapt. And it's just another transformation, just like the one that I had when I joined corporate America. That one was by far easier for me, just given my own challenges. But, you know, just have confidence. Have confidence in your ability and what you learn in your military service. You're going to be just fine. It's just part of the process, but go through it, because, you know, if you do want to achieve some level of success, you have to be adaptable. You have to be willing to change and learn and go through this transformation.
Yeah. I got to tell you, you told about your first sergeant. I got to tell you about mine. I had first sergeant Johnson was my first sergeant. And I remember I was at Fort Benning, Georgia, and I was a drill sergeant. He said, I didn't have a car. And I couldn't get any credit, you know, back then. If you didn't have credit, you got to establish credit in some way. So he actually paid for the car out of his bank account. And then I paid him back every month till I got, I paid him off. And so it's a little things like that that stay with you for the rest of your life. Little things that officers and non-commissioned officers, warrant officers, all of them do to really, you know, support the Army itself. And the other thing I'd say about what we talked about here, you said the Army changed you. I always tell people the Army changed my life and it saved my life. You know, it pointed me in the right direction. But I got to say something, just listening to you talk this morning, you're a self-motivated fella. You know, you're motivated, you're disciplined, you're going in the right direction. And everybody wants to be a winner. You're a winner. You're a great example for young adults in this country, not just young adults, but everybody. You're a great example of what success looks like. So I just appreciate you coming on. This has been a great discussion with a lot of really, you know, helpful advice. It's in transition and really looking for the job. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to leave the audience with that maybe you didn't talk about, Paul? Anything you want to say, hey, look at me or whatever, show me pictures? Anything you missed?
Look at the flag behind me.
There you go.
So that's what I want to talk about. But before I get into, you know, my final thoughts, I want to thank you, SMA Jack Tilley. You know, as I mentioned, you know, I was raised by a lot of people like you, Vietnam veterans, and you know, you're all, you know, so incredibly kind with your support. You know, I think you're the greatest generation. That's my personal opinion. Not to take anything away from our awesome, incredible World War II veterans, but the Vietnam veterans are definitely in a special class by themselves. And so you're a great role model for us. You know, I will seek to emulate you. You're a soldier for life. And that's all I am. I don't claim to be anything else. I'm just part of this military community. But as I mentioned, you know, given my story, you know, I always have this flag behind me because it represents all of us. You know, no matter what your background is, we're a country of immigrants. You know, we all came here and we all believe in the power of America. And, you know, I believe that we have a social responsibility to give back. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not anything, you know, special. As I mentioned, I'm not claiming that, you know, I know anything or anyone, but I am always here to help. So my final thoughts are just if you are transitioning or if you just want to talk about your career, even in the military, I'm always here to help you. You can reach out to me, send me an email. I'm at estradas@gmail.com. It's just my surname in plural, estradas@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. You know, feel free to connect with me. I am happy to talk to you. I don't care if I get 1,000 messages. I promise you, I will answer each and every one of them. I'm here to serve, and that's my intention for the rest of my life.
Well, I wish there's more people like you around. And people like you change the world and make it a better place each and every day. So again, Dave, thanks so much for coming on the show. And thank you for what you do and what you continue to do for our country. You're a great role model.
Hoo-ah. Thank you, Sergeant Major.
I love that. I love it. Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
Hey, thanks again to Paul Estrada for being our guest today. Just an outstanding guest. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us today. And log into our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good review. This has got to be a good review for all of us. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners and see all the jobs and services that are available to assist you in your transition from the military. And we just added a new job board, partnership with Recruit Military. You can search for a job that's a perfect fit for you. Check out the video on the website to learn more how to fine-tune that your search. You can also create your individual profile. Scan a QR code on the screen or on the website to create your own profile. All information collected is confidential and won't be shared by anyone. Please know, we want to help you any way we can. I'm going to say that again, just like Paul was just talking about. Please know we, all of us, want to help you any way we can. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell, too, to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please send me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Paul Estrada for joining us today. It was just great having you on the show. And my final thought, you know, I always get final thoughts. It makes me feel so good to find somebody like Sergeant Paul Estrada, hopefully I got that correct, that cares so much about giving back. You know, that's really what God put us on this earth for. It's not about, it's not about us. It's about all of us. No matter what color, what religion, whatever it is, it's about all of us making a difference in our lives for you and for me and for everybody around you. Don't dwell on the negative. Sometimes people have a tendency to look at me. I can't be successful. Anybody can be successful. Anybody can do anything that they want. Just do it. Be motivated. Be disciplined. Love people. And that's what we got to do. We got to do better each and every day. So just keep pushing. Life is good, and you can make it better with whatever you do in your life. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studio and, of course, our presenting sponsors, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, FPP Dental and FPP Vision, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global and USA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.